The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to be with us because we're going to speak about the power of motivation.
I pray to God, my heart, soul and body, every single day. My life with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So pleasing you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Thursday, is the 20th of Jamadi al-Awwal 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar corresponding to the 24th of Azar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 15th of December 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we bless this moment by verses 155 of chapter Al-Baqarah from the Holy Quran. We'll listen to.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين.
And we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits. But give good tidings to the patient.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib said, "Even though Allah the Glorious knows them more than they know themselves, yet He does so to let them perform actions with which they earn reward or punishment. Allah tests all human beings, but with varieties. All the different sides of the world are the testing places, and all the members of the humanity, even the prophets, are under trial, and all the pleasant and unpleasant things are the means of trial."
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
The topic of this episode is the power of motivation. Motivation is a powerful, yet tricky beast. Sometimes it is really easy to get motivated and you find yourself wrapped up in a whirlwind of excitement. Other times it is nearly impossible to figure out how to motivate yourself and you're trapped in a death spiral of procrastination. One of the most surprising things about motivation is that it often comes after starting a new behavior, not before. Motivation is often the result of action, not the cause of it. Getting started, even in very small ways, is a form of active inspiration that naturally produces momentum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The topic that we are going to talk about, encouragement in creating motivation. Sometimes, God mentions the performance of a man in the Holy Quran and promises paradise and rewards based on that. Surely those who said, "Our Lord is the only God," then they preserved. The angels will descend upon them, saying, "Do not be afraid and do not be sad. And may you be blessed with the promised paradise." This is Surah 30. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala names certain groups of people and promises them a reward. God has promised men and women of faith gardens from paradise with streams flowing under its trees. They will stay in it forever, an adobe pure things in eternal paradise. So we have too many of these beautiful verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the whole Quran that Allah gives these promises and motivations to His servants. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised paradise and comfort and well-being in the afterlife, which is for the people of faith. What abundant and soul-giving blessings with pleasure and without effort, which can be accessed in the shadow of person's righteous deeds. Actually, mentioning these rewards in Al-Quran is based on the same principle of seeking rewards for human beings in order to prepare them for a dignified life and happiness in the afterlife. So according to this principle, we see in the prayers of the infallible Imams, alayhim as-salam, and also their orders to attract people and move them based on the issue of getting rewards and prizes.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
In each episode of today's special during this week, we'll look at motivation tips and we'll learn about it. For today, this is our tip: track your progress. Seeing progress can be highly motivating. You'll find many tools out there to help you track your goals. This could be as simple as a to-do list or calendar where you can cross off tasks or days as you complete them. Or you might opt for a free tool which allows you to create a personalized digital task board to categorize your big goal into daily, weekly, monthly, or even yearly sub-goals. Another option is to draw a progress bar on a sheet of poster board or paper, hang it somewhere where you'll see it regularly and fill it in as you get closer to your goal. It's nice to look at motivational Islamic quotes, and we start with the quote from Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. He said, "Religion is very easy, and whoever overburdens himself in his religion will not be able to continue in that way." This is another hadith to cut you some slack. The only way you can move up the success ladder is by giving yourself room to breathe. For example, if you lift weight beyond your physical capacity, you will not only pull a muscle and become temporarily debilitated, you'll also slowly develop a resentment towards lifting weights, especially if you keep pulling your muscle because of it. So do yourself a favor. Don't overburden yourself with more spiritual acts of ibadah than your personal situation and individual responsibilities allow you to. It's not about the abundance of good deeds. It's about consistency. And you will lose consistency if you pull your muscle repeatedly.
What are the motives for following an ethical and moral code? Being an ethical person can help me in my career. It can enrich me. And we see that now in businesses. Businesses, they have a very strict moral code, ethical code. You have to be courteous with customers. You have to be nice. You have to be respectful. You have to be honest. Don't lie. All this stuff. Now, what's their motive? It isn't any godly motive. It's because the better customer service, the more ethical you are in your, you know, you're honest. You don't lie about your products. You don't lie about your laws in your business. The more transparent and honest you are and respectful, the more money you make. So being ethical can enrich you, right? Because remember, if you have a shop or a business and you keep on lying and you keep on deceiving people, eventually you're going to lose business. Likewise, we see CEOs of companies. They have to live a moral life. If, you know, that's why we see if they're engaged in any scandals, moral scandals, right away they may lose their job. They may lose their endorsements. We see that also with athletes. As soon as an athlete starts misbehaving, even though it has nothing to do, he's a basketball player, he's a football player, but he has, for example, an affair, or, you know, there's a clip of him insulting someone, he may lose many endorsements, millions of dollars. He may even be fired from the team that he's playing with. So the idea is it pays to have ethical conduct. If you have ethical conduct and you treat people with respect, then this will help you. And subhanAllah, this is mentioned in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ يَزِيدُ أَوْ يُزِيدُ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Having good akhlaq, يُزِيد فِي الرِّزْقِ. It increases rizq, sustenance. Now, some have taken this hadith in a, you know, basically supernatural way, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your rizq in a way where you don't know. Others, no, they say through a natural way. Because when you treat people in your business in an ethical way, they'll always do business with you. It'll make you richer, of course. It'll make your business much better.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. What you've just listened to was one episode of today's special under the title of Motivation. So inshallah, we continue speaking about this topic more. Till then, have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Salam. Here are points to ponder on the dynamics of unity and the pitfalls of discord, as elaborated by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Stick to unity and avoid division, and turning away from each other's help, and withholding the hand from one another's assistance.
Thank you. Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is concerned with the 12th Imam, the Imam of our time, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. And specifically, it is about the reason for the occultation of the Imam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was once asked about the reason for the occultation of the 12th Imam. In response to this, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the following. He said, "For a reason that we are not allowed to reveal to you." It was a secret. The narrator of the hadith, Abdullah ibn al-Fadl, said the following. I asked him, "What is the wisdom behind his occultation?" Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "The wisdom behind his occultation is the same wisdom behind the occultation of Allah's proofs before him," meaning that some of Allah's hujjaj, some of his proofs, went into occultation. And the reason why Imam Mahdi went into occultation is similar to those. The Imam says, "Certainly the wisdom behind it will not be disclosed until after his reappearance." So the Imam kind of alludes to the reason, but then he doesn't disclose it completely. Verily this command is among the commands of Almighty Allah. A secret from among the secrets of Allah. A thing of the unseen from among the unseen things of Allah. So it's something that only Allah knows. It's something that only God truly knows the reason for. When He reappears, it's only then will, you know, human beings finally realize why was it that He was in occultation? What was the purpose behind it? The Imam in the end says, when we acknowledge that He is all-wise, we also acknowledge that all His actions are wise. You know, the Imam says that, you know, we don't know the reason. The Imam says, you don't know the reason behind it, but you still have to acknowledge that God Almighty is wise and He does everything for a reason and there's a wisdom behind it, even though you might not acknowledge that, you know, there is, you might not know the reason or the wisdom behind a specific thing. Here, in the case at hand, something similar is occurring. We know that God is wise and there must be a reason for behind the occultation of the Imam. But we don't know what it is. But because we believe that, you know, God is Hakim and He's wise, we have to acknowledge that this act that He's doing, the occultation of the Imam, is indeed something very wise, and there's a wisdom behind it. But in another hadith, we do read that not the principal reason, because that's hidden, but some of these subsidiary or secondary reasons for His occultation have been mentioned. Like, for example, in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been reported to have said, "He will fear for his life," meaning the time will not be safe for his advent, and for this reason, God will put him in occultation. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reason for the occultation of the 12th Imam in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Aqa for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And I really welcome some of our students from Sevier International School here in the studio, and I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, brothers? Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasser, and Fawad. Everyone is fine?
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay, yes. Alhamdulillah. That's great. So, dear friends, today, inshallah, our main topic is Ayah 151 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, thank you so much for being with us once again. Please get your Quran. Refer to page what? Page what number? 151, page 23, Surah Al-Baqarah. So, let's everyone listen to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون.
So guys, I will be reciting. Make sure you listen and repeat. All right? Let's go on.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا.
كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا.
يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة.
يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة.
ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون.
ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون. Listen to the translation. كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم. As we sent to you an apostle or a messenger from among yourselves, to you, from you, okay? يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا, who recites to you our signs, وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ, and purifies you, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and teaches you the book and the wisdom, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ, and teaches you what you didn't know, okay? Guys, one of the responsibilities of the prophets who have been sent to humankind is what?
To teach them what they don't know.
Yeah, to teach them what they don't know, to let them understand what they have been created for, and also to inform them, to warn them about to give them the good news, and also to warn them about the heavens and the hellfire, the punishments and the rewards. So this is one of the reasons or one of the responsibilities of the prophets. Understood? The messengers. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ. The important point here is that prophets have been assigned, have been chosen, have been appointed from among the human beings, yes? If a prophet was sent, for example, if an angel was sent towards us to guide us to the right path, you know what would have happened?
Nobody would listen to him?
Yeah. Why? He's not among us. He's not from us. He's not a human being. Why should we follow him? Yes? And also the next thing, when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was appointed as a prophet, okay, people were saying, oh, he's like us. Why should we listen to him? The people were saying this again. He's from us. He's like us. So why should we follow him? If Allah Almighty wanted to guide us, to teach us something, so he would have sent us like an angel. come on, when Allah Almighty wants to send an angel, you'll have this question again. When Allah Almighty wants to send you, to choose from someone among you, okay? Again, you have this question. So Allah Almighty chooses a prophet from among the people, okay? To tell them that he is the best model for you. Yes? He is the best one for you to follow him, okay? So in لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Okay? He is the best model. So an angel can never be our model. Yeah? Of course. Yes. Because you can never be like an angel. You're better than angel. Okay? So, there are many options, many responsibilities for the prophets. وَيُعَلِّمُ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا. One, the recitation of the signs of Allah Almighty. يُزَكِّيكُمْ purifying the human beings, okay, يُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and also يُعَلِّمُكُمْ, teaching whatever, and teaching the wisdom, the book, and teaching whatever the people don't know. So these are responsibilities. Guys, inshallah, may Allah Almighty bless us, okay, to first learn the teachings of the Holy Prophet, the teachings of Islam, the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and then after that, we continue their way, okay, their path. This is our responsibility. بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ. Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Now the important tajweed rules here, I have to mention. فوات كما أرسلنا. Alif Mad is there, right? Kama.
Yes.
Okay. Plus, Arusalna starts with Hamza. So, is the Mad here wajib or jais? Huh?
Wajib.
Wajib? Is it wajib, Hussein?
It is jais.
No.
Is it jais?
Yes.
Yes.
So, it means you can skip this Mad.
Yes.
Okay. Why is it jais?
Because Hamza is not in the same word with Mad.
Oh, great. The rule says that if Hamza and if Mad letter both are in one word, of course the Mad is wajib. But if they are in two separate words, the Mad is not wajib. You can stretch the sound, prolong it, or you skip it. كما أرسلنا. Just pronounce the Mad letter. No extension. كما أرسلنا فيكم. Or Ali Nasir, how? For six counts?
Yeah.
How do you recite it with mad?
كما أرسلنا.
Yes.
Yeah. You prolong it.
Prolong
for six.
Prolong it now.
Yes. So. كما أرسلنا.
أحسنتم. كما أرسلنا. If you skip it, كما أرسلنا, because the mad is جائز منفصل. That's it.
Yes.
أرسلنا. Ra must be pronounced heavily. فيكم رسولا منكم. Guys, mad letters are very important. Okay, you have to pay attention. أ-إ-U. أرسلنا في. They are important, okay? رسولا منكم. رسولا منكم. تنوين plus ميم. Huh? The rule says?
إدغام.
إدغام must be applied. You have to merge تنوين to ميم.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
رسولاً منكم changes to
رسولاً.
Ah, رسولاً منكم with a nasal sound. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. رسولاً منكم. رسولاً nasal sound also. Plus, nun ساكن. Also, we have one nun ساكن here.
And إخفاء.
Plus كاف. It says
إخفاء
in a way to let your listener
understand
that the letter kaf comes here.
Yeah.
So, like ink, mink.
Yeah. Yes.
Minkum.
Yeah.
كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم. All right.
Yes.
Next one. يتلو عليكم آياتنا. Look. يانا. These long vowels. Pay attention. ويزكيكم ويعلمكم. They don't have any special rule, okay? They are easy. عين is important, yes. كم الكتاب. Skip that حمزة الواصل. والحكمة. Skip حمزة الواصل. ويعلمكم. Uh-huh. Meem ساكن ويعلمكم ميم ساكن plus ما starts with ميم. ميم ساكن plus ميم. There was a rule here.
إدغام
إثنين. Two letters. إدغام of two identical letters. So, you produce like a nasal sound. ويعلمكم nasal sound. ما لم تكونوا تعلمون. So, the very, very important rules we have mentioned here, alhamdulillah. Now, guys, with the tajweed rules that you have learned now, okay, let's once listen to the recitation once again, okay, with the tajweed rules. Pay attention.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kama arsalna feekum rasulan minkum yatlu alaykum ayatina. يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون.
That was great. That was great. Okay, that was great. Now, alhamdulillah, you learned how to read it with tajweed rules. Let's once together, all of us. Okay, I will recite. You repeat after me. With the tajweed rules. Pay attention, okay? Brothers and sisters, listen please and repeat after us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Kama arsalna feekum rasulan minkum yatlu alaykum ayatina.
كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا
ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة
يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ
وَيُعَلِّمُكُم مَّا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ
وَيُعَلِّمُكُم مَّا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله الله may bless you inshallah thanks brothers and sisters for being with us that was all from us in this Quranic session please stay with us with the let's recite the Quranic Kareem a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network please stay with us Every day, inshallah, we're with you here in these Quranic sessions. Thanks to Allah Almighty. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. And also thanks to Sevier International School. And also students of Sevier International School, Brother Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and finally, Fawad Haider. See you. Stay with us. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahruddin was...
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see...
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamari that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Kalav Islam Page. We're welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works of the Muslim dignitaries and Shiite scholars and ulama all across the world of Islam. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Ziyani. Sheikh Mahtavi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Ziyani, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another Muslim outstanding philosopher and the founder of Ishraq Hikmah or philosophy, Shahabuddin Yahya Sohrawardi, mainly known as Sheikh Ishraq. Okay, Sheikh Ziyaniya, let's start with you, brother. Give us some details about Shahabuddin Yahya Sohrawardi's early life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Late Shahabuddin Yahya ibn Habsh Amirak Sohrawardi, mainly known as Sheikh Ishraq, was born according to the famous idea in 549 according to lunar calendar after Hijra in a village named as Sohraward close to Zanjan, a famous city nowadays in western part of Iran.
Yes.
Sohrawardi or Sheikh al-Ishraq started his preliminary studies in his village and in his mother village, and then moved to Maraghe, a city that is again at the western part of Iran, and learned hikmah or philosophy and also jurisprudence and its principles. Yes. And also get familiar with the Zoroastrian teachings and also some teachings of Christianity. Then at his 20s, he moved to Isfahan and completed his Islamic studies in higher levels, and also studied the logic and philosophy, I mean the philosophy of Ibn Sina.
Yes.
That is known as Falsafatul Masha. And after leaving Isfahan when he was about 30 years old, he had some travels to Middle Asia, that is nowadays somehow we would say maybe Kyrgyzstan and also other parts of the Asia like Mongolia, even closer to the Mongolia and Kyrgyzstan, these parts. He had some travels to these places and had some meetings with some mystics. And he entered the city Diyarbakir. And in this city, he started his, you know, period of asceticism and tried to exercise some asceticism in his life. And he came to this belief that asceticism is a good way to find the practicing hikmah or practicing wisdom. Mm-hmm. So he was believing that wisdom cannot be achieved only through reasoning, but also is in need of some practicing. And we may say, to some extent, he was saying that we are not in need of argumentation, but rather we are in need of intuition and yes. This asceticism to get knowledge through this.
So through self-asceticism, we can reach a kind of, for example, light within.
Yes.
In order to understand the world around.
Yeah. Okay. And through this light, we conceive the universe better. So it's a philosophy.
Yes.
Because you conceive or perceive the being in another way that mm-hmm. others are not able to have this, you know, understanding of the universe.
That's right. Okay.
And afterwards, he moved to Syria and some cities that are located in Syria. he resided over there. And there were some discussions with between him and some Sunni scholars.
Mm-hmm.
And because his ideas were not coming with the ideas of those scholars, he was accused of being giving blasphemous words,
yes,
in Islamic lands.
Mm-hmm.
So
he got arrested. He was, yes, imprisoned.
So they, yes, they put him in prison, and he spent the rest of his life in prison, and he passed away in the prison.
That's all right. So, Sheikh Mahtavi, Hikmat al-Ishraq, what is it exactly? Why is it called Ishraq? And what are the main features of this type of philosophy?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hikmat al-Ishraq, as it is translated into illuminationism, mm-hmm, because it comes from al-Ishraq, which is illumination.
Yes.
So illumination or illuminationism is the approach, or better to say, a philosophical approach upon the philosophy that was initiated in the Islamic world by Ibn Sina, almost something around 200 years after Ibn Sina, who had a kind of Masha'i approach upon, yes, the philosophy, and receiving a lot of heavy critics, mm-hmm, by Fakhr Razi and Ghazali. We see that philosophy is getting away or fading away in, yes, the academic era or in the academic environment. But at that moment, we see someone comes and present a new philosophical approach entitled Illumination or Hikmat al-Ishraq. And he had a very direct reference to the light, as my brother mentioned. As you go through the philosophical books written by the illuminationist philosophers, you see the term light is frequently mentioned.
Yes.
Even for the terminologies, the main terminologies, the title given to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Hikmat al-Ishraq is Nurul Anwar,
yes,
the light of lights.
Yes.
So this approach of illumination, which is another name for Hikmat al-Ishraq, exactly refers to the concept of light, and everything could be taken from the light. We have to mention something, mm-hmm, here. All the philosophers, they believe that there is a truth, but how to find this truth? When you go through the Masha'i school of thought in philosophy, they mostly rely on intellect and reasoning.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that when you start learning philosophy and finding the truth in the Ishraq school of thought, you are not going to rely on your intellect and reasoning. It's impossible, even if you go and ask their teachers. But what does it mean exactly when we say we are in the Ishraq school of thought?
Yes.
It means that besides reasoning, rationalism, intellect, they rely on intuition,
mm-hmm,
kashf al-shuhud.
Yes.
They believe that there are some sort of realities and truth. You cannot find it. You cannot feel it through rationalism. So this is the approach that, or this is the flavor was given to the philosophy by Sheikh Sohrawardi. But there is another idea saying that this concept of Ishraq is related to the place Sohrawardi, yes, is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Or since he was coming from the east of the world, rather, or in contrast to Aristotle and Plato, Iran or Persia or India is located in the east. So since they had their philosophy, their had they type of,
yes,
looking upon the universe.
Yes.
So this type of, or this approach upon the universe,
yes,
has been rooted in the East. That's why Hikmat al-Ishraq is, yes, given this title, Hikmat al-Ishraq. This is another idea. Mm-hmm. But when you go through the Hikmat al-Ishraq books, I mean,
yes,
books written in this field of study with this flavor, you will see a very strong flavor of imaginal world.
This is mentioned by him even in Hikmat al-Ishraq. For example, in the preface of the book, it says that the least prerequisite to read out this book
is that the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been shadowed on his heart, and we can say it is in his memory. So the person who has not enjoyed the divine light inside cannot benefit from this book, that is Hikmatul Ishraq. Yes. And there have been some prerequisites, even the lifestyle of the people. I mean, it has effect. Somehow we can call it a kind of irfani or mystical look at the life, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, because we are of this opinion that the more you give attention to your body, your life will get the material color.
Yes.
So you will be so much dedicated to this material world, so you cannot benefit from the spiritual world. That's why in order to get benefits, mainly spiritual benefits, you should not focus only your body. Better to diminish and ignore and overlook your material desires. That's why you are paving the ground, making some space and room and capability for your soul and spirit to browse the heavens and sky and benefit from the spiritual world. So he himself believes that for some of the truth, you cannot gain it through your worldly intellect.
Yes.
So this soul must leave the body, which is called khal'e badan.
Mm-hmm.
So the soul must leave the body and browse exploring in the skies and heavens in order to get the truth. Those type of truth cannot be gained through intellect and rationalism. So he would give some certain exercises, I mean spiritual exercises. He would ban some certain foods and drinks for the students not to take it for a certain time, so that they would be prepared for this spiritual exploration. That's why they would gain, they would understand what he was talking about.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha
illallah. What is the content of Hikmat al-Ishraq, Sheikh Siyaniya?
Okay, about the content of his book, Hikmat al-Ishraq, we would say that there are two main chapters in this book. The first chapter is titled as Dhawabit al-Fikr, or the rules for thinking, is a chapter in which Sheikh al-Ishraq discusses the typical philosophical issues that it's normal that every philosopher discuss about them. For example, logic and the concept of definition of the beings or the things, and also argumentation, its ways, and also the ways of fallacies, and how to, you know, refrain from, you know, getting trapped in this fallacies. So the first chapter is dedicated for this, that normally philosophers discuss about these issues. But the second chapter, Sheikh al-Ishraq in this chapter tries to give the rules of his philosophy, that is the difference between light and darkness.
Yes.
And also their types, and also the levels of light and the levels of darkness, and also the characteristics